time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for September 11th. Good morning, everybody. We are live on Facebook Live. Tell your friends we're on Facebook Live right now. Holidays today, real quick. It's Make Your Bed Day. That should be every day, folks. No news is good news day, and it's 9/11 Remembrance Day. It was 20 years ago today that 9/11 happened, and we are definitely kind of reliving it today as it's going on. And it was 20 years ago, and real quick, I'm your host of the show. I'm the Cash Man. I'm joined by Furby from Hilton, New York. Furbs, how's it going?
It's going dandy. Feeling good. Happy on this Saturday morning.
All right. Artiste in Rochester someplace. Artiste, how you doing this morning?
Good morning. Hello. I don't know if I'd use the word dandy yet, but once I get some coffee going, maybe.
We got Jay-Z joining us from Parts Unknown. I hope he's not moving. Jay-Z, how's it going, buddy?
I'm doing well. I am not moving. I am parked in an undisclosed location while my daughter's in Kung Fu class.
All right. Kung Fu class. So let me get through my plugs real quick. Birthdays today. It's a happy 56th birthday to Paul Heyman. It isn't terrible to be born on September 11th. I mean, September 11th probably was a really happy day until 20 years ago and half a day. But Paul Heyman is 56 today. Sojourner Bolt. You remember Sojourner Bolt? 44 years old today. I remember Sojourner from Impact Wrestling. I don't remember much else from Sojourner, but it's her 44th birthday today. Pinkling's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Don't Slight Empire at Culver. Join us September 25th. That'd be 2 weeks from today for UFC 266. Prelims start 8 p.m. Pay-per-view starts at 10 p.m. Come on out and hang out with us. Always, as always, at Salvatore's. No cover charge. And interested in roller derby, you want to be a skater, officiate, Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. Welcome to the show. I'm the Cash Man. I just introduced everybody before I even went into my plugs. So you know who we all are. We are on Facebook Live. You can also catch this show, as always, as a podcast. It'll be podded, as they say. But right now we're Zooming it, and we're Zooming it from all different places in the world. And I realize that my camera is backwards. So any of my background stuff you can't see. You know, it's like I got my Cleveland Guardians shirt up here, you know, the roller derby theme. Probably be worth something someday. I probably should hide it someplace. And I got the Pain Clinic shirt behind me. I see the artiste. You got all sorts of cool stuff around you. I need to get like a little office to start doing this now that I'm not in the radio station doing it every Saturday. And of course, Ferb's got everything in the background. Look at that. All those collectibles, you know, it's nuts.
Yeah, I got a few different places I can set up here. So yeah.
And alternate. And Jay-Z's in a car.
It's a minivan, sir.
A minivan. So you could actually be with the far back if you wanted to, you know, like, and people
could, but it would be very messy back there.
Just think of what the people driving by think you're doing if you were doing that in the back.
If I was doing it in the back, people would be like calling the cops, wondering what I was doing.
There's a weird guy on school property doing something.
I am technically like three blocks from school. But no, I'm not going to do it in a school parking lot. There's a post office next to me.
Okay. Well, it's good. Great that you made it with us this week, Jay-Z, and we appreciate the help you gave us last week when we were going through. There went the headphones, and you're going through and helping us with some of the information on when we were talking about Daphne. So we definitely appreciate that. Let's talk a little bit about last weekend. Oh, let's start with, I don't know, the biggest thing that happened the whole weekend, AEW pay-per-view All Out. Man, three debuts and one pay-per-view. I think maybe it was a little overkill. I don't know. Super excited. It's probably the best pay-per-view I've seen in over a year, at least. Maybe more than that. It was well-paced. Had an incredible tag match to start the show. What'd you guys think of All Out as a show in general before we start talking about the debuts? How about you, Rob?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I would say that was the most fun pay-per-view to watch in decades, in my opinion. Do I think it was the best from a wrestling standpoint? I think I would probably choose AEW Revolution last year over it. But when you add in all the surprises, the crowd reactions, the first non-Jacksonville pay-per-view crowd for them in over a year and a half, I just think it was a really special night. It was fun from start to finish. I knew I wasn't really going to care about Paul Watt and QT Marshall, but that was quick and a nice little cool down, and everything else just delivered. So I have no complaints whatsoever. That was a great night.
By you, Ferbs.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, it was definitely probably one of the most fun pay-per-views I've ever watched. I mean, just the overall buzz in the air the entire night, the excitement, just the fact that you didn't really know what was going to happen. And then to have two debuts pretty much like right at the end of the show after the main event, just unbelievable. I mean, obviously we knew Bryan Danielson was probably going to show up. Okay. We knew that, but we didn't know Adam Cole was gonna, it wasn't a for sure thing. And when the lights went out, just unbelievable. First of all, the song is fantastic. It's like a Undisputed Era remix. Love it. But yeah, I mean, just a wonderful show, and shout out to the Lucha Brothers. I jumped up as best as I possibly could out of my seat when they won the tag titles. I was ecstatic.
I will say somebody knew that he was coming because he had the shirt on that said AEW All In Bay Bay on the bottom of it. So Jay-Z, wrestling pay-per-views, where does this rank?
It's easily the best one I've watched overall. Yeah, I agree with Artiste when it comes to the wrestling. It was not like the greatest wrestling pay-per-view overall when it comes to in-ring stuff. But for me, in my adult life, I haven't been as excited to watch a wrestling pay-per-view as I was to watch All Out. And it paid off. Like, everything fired at all cylinders. And the surprising thing is a pay-per-view with Christian in the main event was in 2021 probably the best pay-per-view I've seen in a long time. Over the moon. It was so exciting to watch. It was fun to watch in real time on Twitter, the responses and the reactions and everything to what was going on. And the other thing with the QT Marshall Paul White match, it didn't belong on the pay-per-view, but I understand why they had it, just to cool people off a bit, because didn't it happen like between the CM Punk match and the main event? Was that where it was? Because it kind of fell in a spot where you didn't want the crowd to be tired out. So they got kind of a breather for 5 minutes before they started the main event. It was overall just a very, very good pay-per-view. Very memorable for a lot of reasons, and just so much. So it was so good. And if you haven't seen it yet, you need to go out and buy the replay. It was historic in a lot of ways.
They sold the pay-per-view on CM Punk's debut match. They sold it on CM Punk. And that was exciting enough for a lot of people. They had that. This is their record number of sell buys for a pay-per-view. And they're very, almost doubling the next one they've had. So, but they're selling it on CM Punk. So the first surprise we get is Ruby Soho as the Joker in the women's match. And I was kind of skeptical about the style, how the match was set up with the four different, cards, aces, diamonds, whatever coming out. But, boy, the crowd exploded for Ruby. That was incredible. And it's like, and coming out to Rancid, as soon as Rancid started playing Ruby Soho, you know exactly who was coming out. So it was, and, I think this, we didn't get to see anything when she was Ruby Riott in the WWE. We never really saw much from her at all. And I think that this will be a place where she can shine. And I think it also kind of puts WWE to shame when they realize how excited these people were for this wrestler that they knew had such a history that never got to even do it, you know, working for them, you know? And I thought it was just, I thought that was an interesting, like I said, I was skeptical of the match, but I loved how it went. It went very well.
Yeah. I mean, she was virtually unused really in WWE, especially on the main roster. I mean, she was stuck in the tag team division, which sadly she never won the tag team titles, and they were chanting her name the moment the Joker spot came up, the moment the countdown hit, the whole crowd was chanting Ruby Soho. Like, that's insane to think where her positioning was in WWE, that she's coming to All Out, like literally the best pay-per-view or biggest pay-per-view that they've had so far. They're chanting Ruby Soho. And it just, it's unbelievable.
The crazy part about that too, is that we're in an age that the crowd knew to chant her new name that she'd never used before, aside from like putting a video on Twitter or Instagram or whatever. But that's the age we're living in. I got to give props to the crowd, because I think that going into Sunday, I was skeptical that that crowd was going to be so burned out from having Dynamite and Rampage and Dark and Elevation and all the other indie shows that week and the Fan Fest and everything, that I didn't know how that crowd was going to be. And they were hot all night, and that contributes a lot. I mean, if that same night happened in front of an empty arena, it's not the same thing at all. We're not talking about it in the same light. So I don't know. I'm happy the crowd in Chicago delivered as well.
That's one thing I will give them. I'll give them kudos to, is they, yeah, you're right. They couldn't have done this. I mean, they couldn't have done this when, you know, everything was shut down. And the interesting thing is they have come out, you know, guns a-blazing as soon as they're allowed to have crowds again. I don't think WWE's getting the same response out with live crowds. I think they're exciting the fan. And we'll talk about Mick Foley in a little bit about some of the criticisms he's had of WWE recently. But he's right. I mean, it's like WWE is coming out, you know, and kind of like laying, you know, a dud. When and in AEW, the fans are just absolutely super hyped about everything they're doing. And I think that that was obvious in the pay-per-view. It actually kept me sitting on the edge of my couch the whole night while I was watching it.
One thing that's really telling about pro wrestling crowds, who I've been frustrated with for a long time, because wrestling crowds seem too interested in getting their own S in. You know, they just want to get their chance out. They want to do what they can to get themselves over. The wrestling crowds at AEW don't have time for that. They are so focused on the product that they're putting the product over, and that's exactly what the crowd's supposed to do. And the crowd at All Out was completely into what was going on in the ring and just outside of it. They weren't into getting themselves over, which was just the best part of the entire crowd experience at All Out, was seeing how when wrestling is presented well, we don't care about ourselves. We care about the product. And AEW, the fans care about the product. WWE fans only care about getting themselves on TV or seeing if their chant can get over, all of that stuff. Now it's not catchphrases as much as it's, hey, we're going to go out there. We're going to root for our guys. We're going to root for our gals. We're going to be so excited to see what's going on in the ring. And it makes the entire experience so much better. And, I feel excited to be a wrestling fan for the first time in decades. So that's AEW's done that to me. I don't know if it's done that to anybody else, but it's done that to me.
I just want to remind
it's
you.
It's a totally different feeling than everything else. I was just going to say, like, that night I was probably up until like 4 a.m. and I was just on Twitter watching all the videos from everybody in the crowd, from the reactions. Because obviously the directors and everybody in the arena, they do as much as they can to bring that experience to your TV screen, but it's difficult. You know, I think they did a really good job of showing the crowd reactions and things like that, but just to see all of those different perspectives, and even this week from the vlogs out there from the different AEW talent that were in different spots in the arena or they were backstage or whatever, just to see that reaction, it feels good. I mean, it was a night where, like, you remember, like, yeah, I do love pro wrestling. This is why I watch it. Like, this was fun to watch. And there's been so many nights in recent years or decades where it's just like, why did I waste 3 hours watching this? And that was not the feeling at all on Sunday night.
And the crowd, it actually continued on to when we got to see Dynamite on Wednesday because they had record numbers. And obviously the hype from what was going on Sunday definitely dragged over. And, you know, I would assume, and this is me being, you know, a skeptical wrestling fan, that the WWE would maybe have learned something about it and maybe changed something up on Monday when it came to Monday to try to, like, maybe grasp that crowd that was going nuts. And, man, they didn't, though. I think they just kind of, like, you know, they're just sticking with what they're doing because they think they're doing right. But, man, it definitely put a definitive line between the companies, that's for sure. And don't forget, September 29th, they're going to be in Rochester. Okay, we're talking these debuts. Now, listen, we had Ruby Soho. Now, I didn't mention, but you know, Adam Cole came out at the end of Kenny Omega got a clean win, or not clean win, but he got a win over Christian. It was a good match. I enjoyed that match. It was definitely, Christian can still do it, obviously, and I thought it could have went either way. It looked at one point, but at the end, Adam Cole comes out as they're all stomping on Christian in the ring, and it's one thing you don't see a lot of times is Christian getting beat down by anybody. But Adam Cole came out and immediately picked up where they left off with the club, you know, the Bullet Club. You know, when I saw the Jacksons kissing on the cheek, it's like that's kind of like what happened about 3 years ago when he got kicked out of the club. You know, I think it was one of the last things they did. So, but you know, and then I knew, and the thing too is, and the pay-per-view went, this is what we're talking about 11:30, I think, when this was going on, maybe 11:40. So it definitely was a long pay-per-view. Well worth the $50 I spent on Fight TV. It was well worth it. I had no problems getting connectivity with it. It looked great the whole night. It's just as good as any of the, you know, the cable-driven pay-per-views or satellite ones. But, we had some time left at the end. I wasn't, you know, and that's another thing is WWE, you know, they have time limits and they got to get done by a certain time, you know, or at least they used to. But this one, it's like, oh, there's a lot of time left. You think we're going to hear, you know, Raya the Valkyries coming out here, and then boom, you know, Daniel Bryan comes out. And it's like the guy, you know, the biggest, once again, much like CM Punk, another, the biggest, you know, secret that everybody knew was going to happen. But we didn't know when. I thought at one point, like we were texting amongst each other. I said, you know, maybe they're going to hold off to Arthur Ashe Stadium with this. That may be Ric Flair now. Who knows what they're going to do at Arthur Ashe Stadium in a couple of weeks. But Daniel Bryan came out, and the crowd was in his hand too as well. I mean, the crowd was just so important into everything that was going on. They had the fan fest that weekend, 2 days of interview, you know, and we're friends with Vinny Paulino, who, Vinny, shout out to you, bro, was out there and met everybody, did everything possible you could do. It was like a fantasy baseball camp or something. He had wrestling every day like the last week, and he got to participate in so many cool things. And, you know, he was there for all that. And it's just hearing the reaction from everybody when Daniel Bryan came out, it was deafening. And what'd you guys think of the two debuts that quick, rapid fire at the end of the show? Was it perfect timing, or was it overkill? I don't know. I was like on the edge of my seat, like I said.
100% perfect.
I think it was the only option they had because Punk sold that pay-per-view to probably people who may not have ordered it, may have not watched AEW like religiously like a lot of people did, and so they threw everything at the eyes that may not have been watching Dynamite, so they would be like, this is the place to watch wrestling. I watched it with my son, who's not a wrestling fan per se, my 13-year-old. He'll watch it with me here and there, and I said, listen, there's going to be a surprise at the end. You've got to stick with me here. Watch it to the end.
Forget it if you got to go to school tomorrow. If you got to go to school tomorrow, forget it, man. Stay up late.
It was Labor Day.
Okay,
it was Labor Day, so it was perfect. I said, you got to stay up to the end. He's like, okay, I will. And Adam Cole came out. He goes, oh, that's the guy from NXT. Okay. I said, no, just wait. Because I don't tell him spoilers that I know, because I want to see what it's like for someone who doesn't know. And he was excited to see Daniel Bryan there. He's like, why is Daniel Bryan there? He's in AEW now. I said, it's Bryan Danielson.
Yeah.
And just watch. So if my son encapsulates what a quote unquote lapsed fan might be, I don't know if lapsed fans exist anymore or casual fans exist anymore. But if he's the embodiment of that, I think WWE's got not in trouble, because WWE's never going to go away. They've got more money than God. But I think WWE is going to lose the branding of pro wrestling because sports entertainment's happening there and pro wrestling is happening at AEW. And you're going to see that brand switch in people's minds that if they want to watch wrestling, they're going to watch AEW. And with those debuts, it solidified that.
Yeah, Jay-Z,
I think it's a good mix as well in terms of like you've got now some more of these recognizable names there that can bring over mainstream people, that can bring over WWE fans, very casual wrestling fans. But at the same time, they're also catering to the smart wrestling fans or the people who watch everything. They consume every wrestling product out there. You look at little things like when Kenny Omega's on the mic and he's like, anybody that could challenge me is this, or they're already dead. And you could hear the crowd and you could hear like the living room here and stuff. And we're just like, oh, boy, that we know that reference.
Yeah.
Adam Cole was killed off on Being the Elite when he went to WWE. Yep. And so that second, like the crowd pops, they let it sit for a second, the lights turn out. And then you hear that again, like the Undisputed Era Rage Against the Machine ass voice. And you just like, this is awesome. And that mm-hmm. wasn't even the end of the night.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just like Jay-Z kind of hinted at it. I mean, CM Punk sold the pay-per-view. Bryan Danielson and Adam Cole is what's going to keep you coming back. It's exactly what it is, and it was perfect, 100% perfect. And I just want to say, Bryan Danielson's new song, too, the subtlety to the reference from his ROH days, yeah. If you listen.
I didn't awesome. Notice that until last night, and I'm super happy about that.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if that chant is going to pick up on TNT pretty soon, because
well, it sounded
the Turner execs are not going to be happy.
Oh, no, yeah, you can't do swear words, okay? Sorry.
Well, it sounded weird at first live. I heard something was being said, but I couldn't tell what it was. It just sounded like mumble because the crowd reaction. But then once they like put clips of it on YouTube and I started listening to it, I heard it. I'm like, oh, that's what that was.
Oh yeah.
I love that AEW is forcing guys like Furby to treat these videos like the Zapruder film. Was that what I heard?
No, seriously. You know, you have to listen close. And the thing is, now, could we have gotten away without having Bryan Danielson showing up that night? Would you have been satisfied if they just end with Cole? And I mean, it would have been a heel ending on their big pay per view.
I think it I still would have been super happy.
Yeah.
It was just been
extra
happy.
Icing on the cake.
Yeah,
I would have been happy, but it was like, if he didn't show up, I would have been a little slightly disappointed because all we've heard about is him possibly showing up at All Out. So I would have been completely happy with the pay-per-view. I would have been like, man, we got swerved again. I spent $50 to see Bryan Danielson, and here he's not there anymore. There yet. So it was awesome, but it would have sucked without him being there.
I'll be honest with you. I haven't paid full price for a pay-per-view in many, many, many years. You know, I mean, I don't consider, you know, the Peacock or WWE Network is actually paying for a full pay-per-view, but I paid for that because it was the happening at the time, and it was perfect timing, and it was, you know, and it was just an incredible pay-per-view, and I think it set the stage for a lot of things to come up. But yeah, no, there was, and Daniel Bryan now is calling out Kenny Omega. I don't mind him starting at the top, you know, definitely. I mean, he's a, you know, I'm curious to see where we go with everybody else, like Punk. I mean, obviously Punk and Taz had something going on this past week where, you know, it seems like Punk's going to do something with Taz's people.
I loved how Punk was like, I didn't even mention Team Taz.
He did, yeah.
Like, which he didn't. Like, that was great. No, I mean, because they're hinting that stuff, but then they're also potentially leading right into Brian and Cole, which is super intriguing. At the same time, I kind of want to see those guys, even though they haven't worked, like I still kind of want to see those guys like wrestling soon with people who are like AEW homegrown kind of talents, whatever. Like those are the matchups that intrigue me more. But obviously Cole versus Brian will be fantastic. So,
without a doubt.
Yeah, I want to see Cole versus Jungle Boy, and then call all the women in your life, turn on TV right now, and they'll immediately start watching AEW.
Yeah.
I'd like to see, I'd really like to see Bryan Danielson against Daniel Garcia. I know that Garcia is kind of like this young lion, but that would be just a really fun match to watch as a wrestling fan.
O'Brien so, already mentioned. So he already mentioned him
right now. Yeah, Brian Danielson already, mentioned him in the post scrum that same night.
Yeah, he already mentioned.
And Punk's mentioned him too, and obviously they've done the stuff in the ring. So yeah, that stuff is like top of my list.
Hey, and by the way, if you're on Facebook Live watching this right now, you can leave comments and stuff. We'll definitely someone will pick it up and tell me if there's anything cool going through there.
Yeah, I know you mentioned it earlier. Obviously, AEW coming to Rochester. Two things I actually saw in the Wrestling Observer. It sounded like it's a little bit soon, but they hinted at Bray Wyatt potentially being available September 29th with a possible debut in Rochester. I would mark out for that completely.
I thought he wasn't going to be available to like Halloween. Yeah.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
The date didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, because he was released July 31st. And the only reason I know that is because when I closed on my car. So 90 days would not, that's less than 2 months.
Yeah,
so I don't see.
Yeah,
maybe because he was out for a long time.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I just saw it, so I wanted to mention. And also, any idea what they're doing for Rampage?
I was going to ask that too, because last week in Pittsburgh for Dynamite, Rampage. I'm guessing Rampage was taped because we saw Rampage, and it was still from Cincinnati last week. It was still from Cincinnati last night, so I'm guessing that was taped after the show.
They don't have any announced Rampage specific shows coming up for a while. I'm assuming some will be added in, but my guess is Rochester will be both.
Yeah, I think that's the plan going forward, except on pay-per-view weekends. If you notice, All Out, they had it in Chicago, and then they did the All Out pay-per-view in Chicago. I think what the plan will be when Full Gear is in St. Louis, I think.
Well, St. that Louis might be moving.
That's right, because there's like an MMA thing or something that weekend or whatever. I don't know. But I think what they're doing is they're double taping, which is fine by me. I'll sit and watch AEW and Blue Cross for a few hours more. Are they doing Dark at the same time too?
No, well, Dark is taping today at Universal Studios.
Oh, okay.
And then Dark Elevation is still supposed to be before Dynamite. Then Dynamite, and then Rampage. So, I mean, it'll mix up a little bit week to week. I'm okay with Rampage being taped, but I mean, as I've talked about for decades on this show, I don't have the same feeling when it's taped. At least it didn't seem like, so far when Rampage has been a taped show, it doesn't seem like it's a heavily edited or post-production commentary or stuff like that bothers me about tape shows. So it's been okay, but I really prefer when it's live.
Yeah, well, then you get Max Caster, who got, I think they have a problem after that happened with him. So we did get a main event, though, on a Rampage last night with Max Caster and Brian Pillman Jr., which I thought was pretty good. It was a pretty good show, actually. The first match was pretty good.
First match was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
That was one of the best matches of the week.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And why not? But then we kind of got a lot of swerves with Andrade. What do they call him? El Lololo? I don't know. I can't say
his name. El Idolo.
El Idolo. El Idolo.
I got to learn to roll my R's. I can't do it. So, nevertheless, I do want to mention that not only are we getting a show September 29th here at the Blue Cross Arena, don't forget to get your tickets. I know it's close. It's very full, so they're going to be very happy. But Chris Jericho is in town. Is in Buffalo next week. Fozzy, I believe it's the 12th. I think it's when. I'm not sure what day the 12th is.
12th tomorrow.
Oh, I'm sorry. 12th. So. It's not the 12th. Then. I'm not sure. If someone can call that up, that'd be great. I had it on my computer screen, but I don't know what I did with it. But they're going to be in Buffalo this week. I think it's Wednesday night this week. Fozzy's going to be playing out there, and I'm guessing Chris Jericho is going to be off TV maybe while Fozzy's on doing their tour and everything. But we've gone almost September 13th. Okay, so that's Sunday night. Monday night. So Monday night, you want to see Chris Jericho and Fozzy? It's what's it called? The place that they're at? It's
Ironworks,
right next to they're right next to I was gonna say the HSBC Arena, but it's
the Marine Midland Arena, First Niagara Center, the KeyBank Center, whatever.
Yeah,
you want
to call it. One of those. Yeah, it's right next door to it. I've gone to I've seen
the Odd.
I've seen concerts there. Odd. I've seen concerts there where we warmed up with a band over there and then walked over to the concert and then went back to the bar after and saw the same band.
It's a nice little venue.
It is. I like it. I like it. So I want to. We've gone about 30 minutes on all the debuts, and it's great. Everything, and I. you want to talk a little bit right now about Mick Foley putting out a video this past week telling WWE that they're going to be in trouble if they don't make changes and if they don't see what's happening in this business. And Mick Foley put out, and it was very succinct. It was like maybe 3 minutes long. And it was just like and he still, I believe, is under a Legends contract with WWE. Because he still does stuff with them. He's still on their their network or whatever, you know, when they were doing that show they were doing where they were going out and finding them the memorabilia and stuff like that. So he comes out and puts out this video and pretty much says, you know, you guys better open your eyes what's going on in AEW because they're stealing the fans right from underneath you, you know, for this business. And you know, you're not equaling them in, you know, storylines, interest and whatnot. He put it out and we had a little discussion after it came out. It was like earlier this week. And I definitely felt that WWE, you know, they're so thin skinned when it comes to you criticizing them that they're going to probably take it out on Mick Foley because Mick Foley's telling him the truth. They don't like the truth sometimes. And like I said, they're thin skinned. It's like, oh, Mick, you don't know our future plans for, you know, booking and stuff. But what'd you guys think of Mick coming out? Do you think that was like risking maybe getting cut from WWE? Maybe I'm sure he's not making too much through this Legends deal because he's on tour coming up doing comedy clubs and open and speaking engagements and stuff like that in the next couple of months. But what'd you guys think of that video?
I thought it was a bold move. Great play on his part. I don't think it had the effect that he was hoping. I thought maybe it would open their eyes. I think they just kind of turned a blind eye and said, well, that, you know, screw Mick. But I mean, he's absolutely 100% right. He's 100% right on all that. And he's still talking about it. I mean, he posted something on his Facebook page, whether it's him or not, but
he posted a matchup of Cross versus somebody from Impact, and then he posted a matchup of Cross versus somebody in WWE where Cross, you know, and he's using that as an example of why they
Morrison both times, I don't think Mick cares if WWE is upset. Honestly, I think a lot of people in WWE have surrounded Vince as yes men, and they just they've shielded him from the criticism that has come from outside. But when Mick, who is a much louder voice than even a Dave Meltzer,
he's an inside guy. He's an inside guy with them too.
He's one of their guys. Yeah. So when one of their guys sort of says, "Hey, you know, you might be in trouble," Vince is like, what do you mean? You know, we're not in trouble. Everybody's telling me everything's fine. but if you look at their checkbook, of course, everything's fine. They've got all that Saudi blood money. And they're going to do whatever they are because WWE's never going away. They're always going to be there. But I think, like I said before, they're losing the branding of professional wrestling. And I don't think they'll ever get it back, especially if AEW is successful. This feels like back during the Attitude Era when WWE was producing better TV than WCW, and WCW was doing crap TV and making decent ratings. And then there was that moment where there was a pivot to WWE. That's what's happening with AEW in the minds of wrestling fans. AEW is where it's at. WWE just wants to create content. They don't care about the content of the content.
Well, and Mick Foley, I don't know if he's maybe the new voice of the voiceless here, but he is somebody who wasn't scared to jump off of cages and do elbow drops on the concrete and stuff. So I don't think he's scared of upsetting some people at WWE. Everything he said is correct. Everybody's feeling that way. And I don't know, aside from maybe if he has a Legends deal or something, what is WWE going to do? They're not going to not use him in the future, whatever. Like he's at that level where I think he's pretty immune to a lot of repercussions from that kind of stuff. So props to him for saying it because everybody's feeling it. Talking about it, like, yeah, Sunday was huge and they followed up with Dynamite and everything else. Raw is the same old stuff. At least like it seems like this week, like they cared about SmackDown. They put it at MSG. They had Lesnar and all that stuff. So at least they care about one of their brands. But there is a shift happening, and the problem too for WWE is I think that now we're at a point where AEW is putting out a lot of content, and their extra content or whatever is starting to get better. And for people like me, there's only so many hours of wrestling you can watch a week. So if we get to the point where it's not just 2 hours of Dynamite a week, now there's these there's Rampage and there's other stuff, Elevation will get better, whatever, then that's maybe even less time to be like, all right, I'm going to watch Raw tonight, whatever. So they've got to evaluate what they're doing, because they need a lot of help. And if I'm somebody in WWE who's not Vince McMahon or Bruce Pritchard, I'm probably happy that Mick Foley is speaking out and bringing that to the attention. There's probably a lot of people in the locker room that are like, thank you, Mick, like secretly, because they know that they want things to start moving in a different direction.
Well, you know, I want to make a point that a lot of superstars in WWE, because you can't call them wrestlers, shout out to the debuts this past weekend. I mean, so WWE, I mean, you know, it's a fine line to draw, but you know, it's like when people are like saying, hey, you know, it's like, and even Adam Cole kind of shouting out to all his friends from WWE that he's going to miss and everything. You know, he did some stuff on social media this week. There was a lot of congratulations going on. And I think, you know, with Punk bringing a lot of people to watch the pay-per-view, and then all of a sudden some of the, probably the best wrestlers on the planet showing up by the end of it. You know, that was a paradigm shift, not to steal from John Moxley, but that they're going to have to get innovative, and maybe it'll force them to be more creative. I don't know. You know, I'm not sure that I don't know if they can salvage what they're doing now to maybe find a point to have, you know, to get better, to be, you know, to get the crowd, unless they tend to use the celebrities in the past to try to draw more people. And maybe that's what they'll lean back on, is getting celebrities involved again. But it was Mick Foley. I felt bad for him, because as soon as I read it, I know, like I said earlier when I led into this, that how thin skinned the company is, and you can't criticize them, because then you get banned from being, you know, press stuff because they don't like your criticizing of, you know, their product. But, you know, I don't care anymore, to be honest with you. And I've said that for a long time ago. I don't care. We'll criticize them when they're worth criticizing. We'll also laud them when they're worth praise, you know. So, but that, I Mick Foley, I you know, he's going to be, what, at Heroes Hideout in like a couple of weeks too as well. Well, right? I think, isn't he, Furby, going to be there? Isn't he? He's coming this way. Maybe it's November. I can't remember.
Unless he's coming to one of their big WrestleFest shows, or they changed the name of it now, but he was already in Heroes Hideout for, I think, his dates.
Oh, okay. Already did it. Because yeah. I know he's, I think he's coming back and doing the comedy club too as well. I think, I know.
November.
Orange Cassidy. 8th.
Yeah.
Orange Cassidy will be at Heroes Hideout in a couple of weeks. Yep. I know that much.
Yep. He's going to be there on the Saturday, October 2nd, the week that AEW is in Rochester. And then Darby Allin's going to be at Eastview Mall on the Thursday after Dynamite.
Yeah. Wow. So
the one other thing I just wanted to say that I would love to know the answer to, but we're probably not going to find out. Like Adam Cole said specifically, like the whole time, not only did he say that, like, he kind of knew for a long time he was going to end up in AEW, but he said how he had been watching it every week since it started. And with him specifically, obviously that's not a surprise, because Britt is there,
sure,
and stuff. But you know that all of these people that are on the WWE roster are paying attention. And obviously it's a lot of their friends and stuff like that. I just would love to know if the people who are actually making decisions in WWE, again, Vince, Bruce Pritchard, these people, are they watching? Are they paying attention? Because they like to act like they're not, but part of me thinks like they're really not.
Yeah.
And like, you can't just ignore when somebody's putting on a great competition. You can't just be like, yeah, I'm not paying attention to that. We just do our own thing here.
I think the only person that was an executive that was watching AEW was Paul Levesque. I think he's the only one. And I hate to be the guy defending Triple H, who I bashed for years, but I think he was the only one who saw kind of the writing on the wall, and he knew that going head to head with AEW on TV was a bad decision, but they still did it. And now he's perceived as a failure. But I don't think Vince is watching Dynamite.
time.
I don't think he cares.
Well, they. I've heard stories where they say Vince doesn't watch anybody's stuff but his own, but it's all his people around him that are the ones who are watching it. And I wouldn't be surprised if Pritchard's watching. I know JR said that he was watching everything else when he was announcing WWE, that he would watch everything he could get his eyes on. Even New Japan, and we're talking like 15 years ago. So he was, you know, wow. So yeah, I think you have to know what your competition is doing. And then but it's like, for instance, CM Punk said he wasn't watching any wrestling at all. Every time he like did a conference or anything when he was doing MMA and stuff. And then all of a sudden he comes to AEW. He goes, I've never missed an episode. It's like, okay. So I think, you know, they just, you know, they play coy on it. They don't want to let you know that they're still, you know, a fan of the business or whatever. And it's important to
WWE
them.
Has acted like nobody was watching, that nobody at NXT was watching Dynamite, but there are literally pictures from the crowd there of like their production people with a screen with Dynamite on it right next to their cameras and stuff. So as there should be, you got to pay attention to this stuff. It doesn't mean you need to copy it or worry about it too much, but you got to be aware of what else is going on.
We had a Monday Night Raw here in town where we were sitting behind the production table and we could watch them. They were watching football. Well, you know, when they were in commercial breaks and stuff, they definitely were watching the football game. So I've definitely seen them looking at other things. So,
I mean, nobody's ever seen me watching a like Temple football game while doing a hockey broadcast. So.
I can't. At least there's no evidence.
Well,
no.
And
or two CW
is,
pay-per-view while doing an Amherst game.
Oh, hello.
Well, I think it might have been Picasso who said, "Good artists borrow, great artists steal." And if they really want to, if WWE cared about what AEW was doing, they'd be watching and they'd be stealing as much as they could. Wrestlers are probably watching to steal. Like, look at Buddy Murphy, who was basically trying to be Kenny Omega in WWE. So wrestlers are definitely watching because they're seeing innovation happening in AEW and places around the world. WWE has that same cookie cutter stuff happening, and some guys are trying to bring that other stuff in as subtly as they can. But I don't know how much the executives are watching Dynamite, because they're looking more at Bruce is probably watching.
Oh, yeah.
And Bruce is like, what's going on here, pal? They got these vanilla midgets in the main event, you know?
I'm guessing that Heyman's probably watching it, too. I think he has a lot of say in what goes on still, you know?
That's true.
Yeah, I think there's a bunch, you know, and you know every wrestler there is watching it. They're all friends. Listen, it's a small world. It's a small community. They all know each other. They all, you know, they've worked with each other at one point or another in their career, even when they're on the indies, you know? I mean, you see how many people are happy for like Orange Cassidy when he gets over doing what he's doing, you know? Then it's funny is they announced Orange Cassidy on Facebook at Heroes Hideout. And I'm reading the comments and people are just complaining continuously about how, what does he do? He puts his hands in his pockets. You know, it's like, there's people just criticizing him. It's like, you ever watch what he does when he gets his hands in his pockets? The guy is like an incredible athlete. You know,
if Tony Khan listens to the Pain Clinic, which I doubt he does,
he may,
but if he is, please book Orange Cassidy versus Minoru Suzuki. Please, for the love of God, give us Suzuki versus Orange Cassidy, you cowards. Please. That's like the one match during this tour that I want to see that probably won't happen. Or want Suzuki versus Miro. I just want to see one of those two matches happen in AEW.
Suzuki is so stiff. I was watching that. I mean, he really, that's why, you know, you ever wonder where the Suzuki pile driver got its name? It's exactly where we're seeing it, you know, this past week. And it's like a lot of people have heard that a million times and never knew it was named after him because he does like that cradle pile driver there, you know?
The gotch thing.
But he got busted open big time on Wednesday. He was like bleeding like crazy.
I felt like I was watching that scene in Rocky IV where Rocky finally busted Ivan Drago open.
Yeah.
And he bleeds. Suzuki's one of the only wrestlers that legitimately scares me. Like, he's a frightening man. And I love watching every single one of his matches. I don't think he's ever had a bad match in my mind, even against guys like Toriyano in New Japan. But, I'm sorry. We completely,
no, it's
but
true.
I want to see Orange Cassidy and Minoru Suzuki. I think it'd be hilarious. It was actually booked, I think, right around WrestleMania weekend when COVID hit. So we didn't get to see it. So now we're just kind of waiting to see it happen. I don't know if it ever will.
Yeah, it was supposed to be.
I would say I would want him in.
Break. Oh. sorry.
I was just going to say, I would love to see him and Daniel Garcia, but luckily that match is happening at West Coast Pro, I think, next weekend on IWTV. So that will be a fun match, too. I don't know if Suzuki, if the tour ends in about a month or so, but I hope AEW uses him as much as they can in that time.
And
well, they already booked something for it that's this coming week. I think it's him and Archer versus Moxley and Kingston, which will be fun to watch.
That's awesome.
Give me Suzuki against the Butcher in Rochester and I'll be so
happy. Yeah, well, I mean it's within a month, he's still in town. I'm glad that we get to see him, you know. It's like, and a lot, the funny thing is a lot of people maybe never seen him before until he showed up on the pay-per-view there, you know.
I just hope they don't cut his music off so we can do Kaze ni Nore in the arena, unlike everybody in Cincinnati got robbed of.
I wonder how many people in Rochester would actually know that. Only one way to find out.
Yeah, there we go.
It'll probably be like 10 of us.
Well, I didn't even mention him as someone who debuted as well this past week, but that's a lot of history there. And they did a good job of doing like a flashback history, but they didn't really have like a lot of rights to show a lot of stuff that he'd done, but he's definitely... and he's a tough guy, man. It's super exciting. So one thing I know, we're really going long, so this might go longer than an hour, but I do want to talk a little bit. This past week came out that things have come out, maybe huge rumors more than truths. Kevin Owens, there's a lot of talk of his contract running out in a couple weeks, or, you know, by January.
Let's go.
Yeah. Kevin Owens, he may be, and he's had some Twitter interaction with the Jackson brothers, you know, the Young Bucks. You know,
Mount Rushmore is almost complete again. Yep.
I was going to say,
almost there.
What do you think WWE, I mean, are they going to get back into their mode of signing everybody and not using them? Obviously it's up to Kevin Owens, whether he wants to sign again or not, if they want to throw insane money at him. I mean, what are they using him now for? Commentating, starting a fight with Happy Corbin there. I don't know. He's specifically not happy with where he's going, and he's seeing where all his friends are now. I mean, are we going to see an AEW debut from KO? Maybe he'll go back to Steen, you know? Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's just about as good as gone.
Pretty much. That's what I'm hearing. He's about as good as
he
gone.
He should be. I mean, I'm happy that he got to win the Universal title and all of that, but it's time to move on to the next chapter.
Did he win it, or was it handed to him?
Well, yeah. Either way, I was still happy when it happened at that moment, because at that moment or around then, the two champions in WWE were Kevin Owens and AJ Styles. And I was this is awesome and something I never thought would happen. Unfortunately, those days are behind us now, so I'd love to see what he could do in AEW.
I mean, basically from the time that he was pulled essentially from the main event at WrestleMania 33, I don't think he's been happy. I mean, it was originally going to be him and Jericho for the Universal title, and then they gave it to Brock and Goldberg instead. So I don't think he's been happy since 2017. He's a guy who's very, 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 very passionate about professional wrestling, and he doesn't get to do that. I mean, it's unfortunate. He's one of my favorites. I want to see him succeed, so I hope he gets out of WWE.
I think that Tony Khan would value him enough, and Kevin is already putting out there, clearly he's interested after he tweeted the coordinates of Mount Rushmore the other day and stuff, that I don't know if WWE could throw him. Like, if I'm Tony Khan, whatever WWE offers, all right, here's that plus a dollar. Let's go.
Like, I think one thing they have to be very, very careful. Tony cannot interact with Kevin Owens without a lawsuit happening. But I think the last thing Vince wanted for his guys and for the wrestlers, but also for the viewers, was options. And now they have options, and they have big options. And when Kevin Owens signed, 8 years ago, whatever it was, he didn't have any options. He could have stayed at ROH and languished there, or he could have gotten a job with the dream company the only one that existed. Well, now when his contract's coming up, there's AEW and it's clearly got some legs. I don't see why he wouldn't jump. I don't see why a Sami Zayn won't jump when his contract comes up. I want to see him actually put the mask back on and just come back as Generico.
Oh, Generico.
That would be fun, but I don't think that's going
to
happen.
You know, I do want to make.
He's more.
I do want to make one point. A lot of these guys also have options in their contracts where it allows them to work with other people. That Tony Khan is like leaving the door open for like Daniel Bryan to do New Japan work. You know, maybe Kevin Owens wants to do some stuff besides, you know, and right now the door is open for some of these people to do. Like, look at Moxley. He's doing a lot of independence. You know, I mean, so, and that's,
I wish this timing was a little different, that Kevin Steen could make an appearance in a couple weeks where he was the former heavyweight champion and tag team champion in 2CW, but oh well.
Well, maybe he'll put, maybe he'll send him a
not
video.
Not everything can fall in line.
Yeah. Maybe he'll send him a video like last time, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, possibly. But yeah, Kevin, you know, with Kevin Steen, Kevin Owens, we, you know, I can't wait to see him, you know, get some freedom, you know, and you know, I mean, listen, when the guy who runs the whole company that doesn't like you because you're a little pudgy and is always going to hold you back because of that, because I think it's, to be honest with you, that has a lot to do with it. He does. If you're not the, you know, the 6'8" muscular, you know, but Kevin Owens is like, him and Daniel Bryan are the guys that are like, you know, can set up, have the greatest matches with everybody they wrestle. It's not just, you know, they're a mind. They have a mindset how to do this. And, you know, they get pushed aside because they're not, you know, they're not Adonises, you know. I mean, well, look what Cross is doing now. So it's like, I mean, the, oh, that poor guy, I, you know, it's like, man, I miss, oh, destroyed, you know.
But
I mean,
so thankful that the Bludgeon Brothers were able to decline that outfit years ago, because, man, that would have been terrible.
Can you imagine, can you imagine them in that, like, what is that weird tunic thing he's wearing on the bottom with the gladiator thing?
Yeah, it's
like
got the flaps on it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't think either Rowan or Mr. Brody Lee would look good in that.
No. And that, I mean, that's confirmed. Like, that was legitimately pitched or whatever. So thank God that did not happen.
But definitely.
I think the one thing that we kind of alluded
to pitches.
Yeah.
we... Go ahead, Artie.
I was just gonna say, the one thing we kind of alluded to that I think is the, it would be most concerning to me if I worked in the WWE office, is the point that all of these wrestlers are not only just doing it, but they're saying it out loud, that like they're making this jump because they want to, because AEW is fun, because they want to be part of the product. That's not what anybody was saying when they went, when they sold out and went to WCW for the money back in the day or things like that. That is a huge difference, that it's not just big pockets from Tony Khan. That's just like, oh, I'm going to go cash in and whatever. Like, this is specifically because like they want to be part of the product. It looks like it's fun. They like want to have that passion again, everything else. That to me would be the most concerning thing if I'm in the WWE office, like, oh, this is not a good look for us at all, that nobody wants to actually be here.
That's what Adam Cole said. I mean, that's what he said. Yeah. That he said that directly in the press conference this past week, that he knew he was leaving when it was done, and he only stayed to, you know, help them get through to the next point. But yeah, that I agree.
And only really because he's such good friends with Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah.
If he hadn't been in that program with O'Reilly, he would have been gone sooner.
Yeah,
You said, and just like you guys said earlier, like growing up, all these kids or all these professional wrestlers grow up wanting to be professional wrestlers and work for WWE, because at that time, that's really all they had was that option. But now there's other options, and now they don't have to muddle around and do nothing. Now they can go to another company that values their work as an actual professional wrestler. And now they can go and have that passion again, have that fire, and fall in love with the business all over again that they grew up watching, that they fell in love with when they were kids. So it's...
Well, and if you look at that specifically, I know that a year or a year and a half ago, there were a lot of people that were top stars on the independents who were being looked at, had WWE for NXT and AEW looking at them. Maybe they went in and they did a match for NXT. They did a match for Dark, whatever. But at that point, it was like, well, I grew up, my dream is to be in WWE, so I'm still going to choose like the NXT route. That's shifting. That part now, with all of those people are just like, no, I'd rather go to AEW. Like, that's a huge deal in terms of what we're looking at for the future for these people that aren't in their prime yet, that are just, you know, on the cusp of being signed at this point.
Do you remember 2.5 years ago when they were signing everybody at WWE? Remember when they were signing everybody? So it's just so AEW didn't get these guys.
And they're all gone now.
Yeah, they're all like, they got their money from WWE, and now they're gone on to better places, you know. But I mean, I just remember we were so critical, because it's like, we're, you know, they're not going to have any room for any of these people they're signing. They're signing all these people. they're changing their gimmicks as soon as they get there. And, you know, and it's just things that got them over.
The one thing that you said right there that I just want to chime in quick, the concern is AEW going to get to that point as well? I think they're doing a really good job of mixing people, having people appear somewhere each week or every other week, things like that to keep them relevant. But the one thing that was glaring to me this week, the last AEW pay-per-view, Double or Nothing, that show ended with who getting the big pop? Sammy Guevara.
Yep.
Gets the pin, stadium stampede, place goes nuts. Superstar right. moment for him. Who didn't even have a match at All Out? Sammy Guevara. But they're still finding ways to mix people in. Yeah, he came out, they celebrated with Jericho, whatever. So, like, they're finding a way to make it work right now, but they're still in this mode of add, and nothing's been subtracted. And, like, they've got to keep that in mind, that the more right. they add, they can't get in that same situation that WWE or NXT was in, where, all right, now we've got 100 times more people than we can actually do anything with.
That's my main concern, too, because, like, just like you said, they want...
What the hell was that? Go ahead. <sorry. laughs> Go
ahead. I was saying the last thing that they want a group of guys in the back that have been in catering for 6 weeks not doing anything. They don't want what WWE had. They don't want a bunch of people that are irritated they're not being used. But they need to be very, very careful. They just need to be careful. Yeah. They don't want to get there in that spot.
I think that they have they have enough talent that they could actually do another 2-hour show on another night, maybe turned Dynamite or Rampage into a 2-hour show or something like that, because they do have enough guys now where there's, you know, I mean, they and they're very good at sectioning each hour. If you watch them, they do section each hour and they can go back and look at that for ratings and whatnot to see, you know, what were people that were into this 15 minutes of the show. WWE's been doing that for years as well, but a lot of times you'll see things end on a 15-minute, 30-minute, 45-minute and the top of the hour mark. A lot of times we'll have like the biggest people at the top of the hour for the 2-hour show to see if people stay through as it goes, the clock goes by. But I think obviously there's a lot of room for expansion. I mean, with all the dark show, the dark as well, and Dark Elevation, those shows could easily be put on a network if they say Access TV wanted to put it on, or if they wanted, or, you know, the TNT Turner people want to put it someplace else. There's a lot of room for them to grow, and they have the talent. They have the roster right now in which they could. So I'm thinking that there probably is long-term plans to get bigger. Maybe we'll talk to Chris.
They could. Yeah. I with that, and I don't want to say that that's a bad idea. I just think for me, like, the one thing I really like about AEW that I haven't felt about with WWE in a while is I feel like I can, as a fan of the product, I can keep up with everything that's happening. You add even more to what AEW is at right now, then we're getting to the point where, like, because again, it's kind of like catering to smart wrestling fans, and you're kind of paying attention to everything, so you know what's going on. There's references from Dark on Dynamite. There's references from the vlog, all this kind of stuff. If we get to the point where there's too much programming and you can't follow everything, I think stuff gets watered down and it can be a problem. So I don't know, like, another hour on real TV, I'm fine with that. Maybe at that point, then you get rid of Dark or something like that. Sure. But I don't want it to become too much.
No, I agree. Right now, there's a perfect mix right now, I think.
I think what they did back in the day, there was, I don't remember what it was. It might have been Shotgun Saturday Night. It was on late at night. I didn't have cable. So I would catch up on what was happening in wrestling in that hour where they'd show clips and highlights and promos and all this stuff from Raw. Before SmackDown was even on, or was even on the air, they had that 1 hour compressed of breaking down what's happening. And I think what they could theoretically do, if they do have way too much going on, is just do a 1 hour highlight reel show every week. I would watch that if I can't catch everything. I'm sure there's plenty of people that would watch that to catch what was happening, even on stuff like Being the Elite, which I really feel like that kind of explains a lot of stuff that happens that you don't see on TV. Oh, yeah. It explains stuff like I didn't know, cause I haven't been watching Being the Elite. I didn't know the storyline involving Adam Cole being dead until I heard about it later.
Yeah.
Those things are great. And if they had some sort of like 1 hour highlight reel every week to sort of break it down for dumb people like me, it'd be great.
Okay. We're really getting, we're going to about an hour and there's a bunch of stuff we really haven't covered yet. We're going to speed this up a little bit for the last couple minutes. I want to talk about NXT shakeup this week. We're really not sure what's going to happen. We know they have the new graphics and everything, and it more hands-on from Vince McMahon. Is that good? I don't know. What do you guys? I like the graphics. I saw the animated video that they had last night on a SmackDown. They showed, you know, what are we going to see differently? They're going to add more people, have less, you know, less of what we've been seeing, and more of other things.
So far, the only thing I'm excited for is the Index wedding.
Yeah.
I'm very skeptical about this, but I also feel like NXT's gotten so stale that whatever, try something. I think the whole look is stealing from the early Dynamite look with all the like booming colors and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, you know, like people liked NXT because it had a different look. Are people going to like this better? I'm very skeptical, but it's time to change something out because NXT does not have the momentum that it had a few years ago at all.
And they're taking everybody.
So I'm intrigued. I'll be watching.
Yeah. They're taking everybody away. So it's like you keep subtracting people and then trying to add new people. And sometimes it's not working. And sometimes they give up on someone too early. So, you know, I guess Vince.
I think from a production side, it'll be nice to see them switch things up, even though it did have a cool look before. But from a creative side, I'm just thinking it's probably going to end up being a disaster.
Okay, we have a real brief moment. Top 500 came out this week. Pro Wrestling Illustrated Top 500. I only posted our top 10, which was seemed kind of silly, but Kenny Omega falling at number one. Roman Reigns at number two. Bobby Lashley at number three. Drew McIntyre four. Kota Ibushi five. Moxley at six. Osprey at seven. Finn Balor at eight. Shingo Takagi. What's it? Takagi. Sorry.
Shingo Takagi.
Yeah, he's number nine, and Rich Swann at 10. There were some people that were critical of a lot of these, a lot of WWE people in that top 10. That's for sure. It's like, you know.
Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of guys that were missing from that top 10 that should have been in there. There was no Hiroshi Tanahashi wasn't close to the top 10. I think he was ranked 62, which was completely ridiculous. And I mean, Roman Reigns, I think he earned his spot as number two. I'm not going to argue against that. But the rest of those guys in that list, besides Shingo, they don't. And Will Ospreay, they don't belong. Yeah, in that,
Ospreay doesn't. Ibushi, I like Ibushi. I think, you know, he does.
Ibushi's okay. Yeah, I get Ibushi.
And he was double champ. He was double champ during the time period too. So
that's true. Ibushi makes sense. But I mean, Drew McIntyre. I mean, you could go hours talking about the PWI 500 every year because a lot of it's probably just trying to curry favor, a lot of these guys that like to.
Did you say Curry Man? Is he on there?
No. Okay. I'm not. Yeah. Where's Christopher Daniels on that list? He's not on that 500, is he?
What?
I don't think. Yeah. That top 10 really doesn't bother me that much. There are question marks. There's things that I would dispute. Would I put Lashley at three for the past year? No. Do I think he could be there in the next year? Sure. Omega at one? Absolutely. Reigns at two? Absolutely. My thing is, once you get past the top 10, shout out to Rich Swann too. That's awesome to see him.
I love seeing him.
I love that.
Yeah, he's great.
When you talk about 11 through 500, holy crap. I'm sorry. I have more problems with that whole portion of the list than I have in every previous PWI 500 combined.
Yeah.
The list is an absolute joke this year. Whoever is the editor now is an absolute joke. Yeah. There are so many people that are omitted. There are people that are hundreds of spots below where they should be. I understand it's not a tag team list or whatever, but you got the Young Bucks and the 110s and other it's a terrible list. It's a hard list to do. It's a tough job to do, but I'm sorry. Like, that editor in chief should be fired because it's an absolute joke.
I guess it's not our friend Dan anymore.
Is that on the stands yet?
Only digital right now.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Because I saw an issue of it a couple days ago on Wegmans, but it was not the PWI 500. So
Dan's not working. Dan's not working there anymore. Guy from Buffalo. What was his name?
Dan Murphy.
Yeah, Dan Murphy.
Yeah, no, he stopped doing the list a couple of years ago. He's not there anymore. So, and he was obviously like the main person that kind of put it together. You got input from different other writers. And I know with this year's list, there were, I think, like five people on the committee. So it's not like it's just one person that's in charge of it. But when you go through, like, I literally, like was just mentioned, I could, even after skimming the list for 3 minutes, I could go on a 10-hour tangent about how terrible this list is, how there are people who are not even on the list who should be in the top 200 easily. Like, there's none of it makes sense whatsoever. Honestly, like, it's something I've looked forward to reading every year for decades, and I encourage nobody to waste their money on it this year because it's terrible.
You know,
I was MVP 298. Did he even have a match?
I will just remember one thing. Remember one thing. We were coming out of a pandemic, and so the past year has been a bizarro like year. You know, everything that was good is bad, and everything that's bad is good. So we have to deal with that. Maybe we should do an additional podcast about the top 500. I mean,
it might have to be an uncensored one, Rich.
Heated about it. Well, we could do that. I mean, if we get enough people wanting to hear it, we certainly do that. So
I'm interested where some people fell because I didn't see the whole 500. So I've got to look it up.
I will send you the picture of it so you can check it out before when we get done.
Sweet.
But we're going to get out of here in a second. I do want to do some little pieces of news before we get out of here. One piece of news.
MJF was 40 spots ahead of Sammy Guevara.
Huh.
Nothing
that doesn't make any sense.
But are you kidding me?
So this past week, Al Snow made the news and TMZ saved a child's life who was swimming and got caught in a riptide in Santa Rosa Beach out in Florida. Kudos to Al Snow. He's coming to the Flower City Comic Con. He's going to be the wrestler, and we may talk to him, I guess, as we get closer to that. That's coming up in a couple weeks. Some other news, Triple H, Paul Levesque, WWE Executive Vice President, Global Talent Strategy and Development. Boy, he's got a huge title. He had underwent a successful procedure last week at Yale New Haven Hospital following a cardiac event, so it's kind of scary. The episode was caused by a genetic heart issue, and Paul is expected to make a full recovery. We have pictures of him laying in the hospital bed. He is doing good. WWE signed Olympic gold medalist Gable Stevens. He signed a contract with WWE. They're going to be more like of his talent agent before he actually becomes a pro wrestler. They're in charge of his image. They're going to be in charge of a lot of different things about him. He's committed to it. This weekend, we got Ring of Honor, Death Before Dishonor, Sunday night. You definitely do not want to miss that. Another pay-per-view. We got, added to the show was Taylor Rust versus Jake Atlas. Two guys, I believe, were in NXT. Got cut, and now they're debuting on Ring of Honor's pay-per-view. Those guys we really didn't get to see much from in NXT, that's for sure. I just got to get the biggest.
And their first hour is free on like YouTube or whatever, including a 15-man battle royal with Danhausen and others. So if you don't want to pay for the pay-per-view, you can at least check out the first hour for free.
So one last piece.
Evil battle royal.
Yeah, are you going to spit teeth in my mouth or something? Ugh, I don't know. I don't get that. Okay. Nevertheless, one last thing. WWE Shop is now selling Ric Flair Legacy Championship belts. Ric Flair, heavily rumored to be with AEW very soon, and we did talk a little bit about how maybe him beating up Chavo leads to Ric Flair showing up.
Yeah.
So that is all the news I can fit that on. No, also this Thursday, folks, don't forget, if you're not into football, Dark Side of the Ring is back on Vice TV. This week's episode, The Plane Ride from Hell. It's on 9/16, so you definitely want to check that out.
And catch the trailer because you get to hear JR curse, which is just always a delight.
Oh, son of a bitch. All right. As long as he's not calling them by their WWE names, it's okay. We're going to get out of here. I want to thank you, Jay-Z. Thank you, Artis. Thank you, wherever Furby went. If you're watching on Facebook Live, you see he's disappeared. And I want to thank you guys. I want to thank you guys for listening. We'll be here as often as we'll be here every week. We're trying to do this thing still. You know, we're not on the radio anymore. And but we still like doing what we're doing. We'll find a place. If it's not just on Facebook Live and on our podcast, I've talked to some people. There's some things in the works. So we're going to get out of here. We'll see you next week, folks. Have a great wrestling weekend. And don't forget Ring of Honor pay-per-view tomorrow night. And we'll see you same bat time, same bat channel.